This is MSO News Sports, and we are joined by Matt Roy, writes for the Boston Herald, and of course, he's a former North Shore sports writer as well. But Matt, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
All right. Well, Matt, we saw each other the other night down at UMass Boston for the St. Mary's game as they were taking on Foxborough, and I know you stayed for the next game, which was that Bedford-Sharon game, and Sharon has advanced onto the D1 finals. You're going to be at a lot of basketball this weekend at the Songus Center. We've got all the schedules up there. I'm starting to talk about basketball, but now I'm going to take a curve, get off the exit ramp here, but go to hockey, which is Sunday. So, Matt, you know, we've got St. John's Prep. We got Marblehead in Divisions 1 and 3, respectively, for state championship hockey games Sunday at the Garden. And, of course, the St. Mary's girls start off the whole day for everybody at 9 a.m. when they are in when they take on Notre Dame for the D1 girls title. So, Matt, what are your thoughts on what you're seeing and happening at the Garden on Sunday?
I mean, you get six really good games, Bill. There is, if you look at the seeds of these teams, it's really good. I mean, that the St. Mary's Notre Dame Hingham game, those are two teams that know each other very well. St. Mary's lost to Notre Dame in overtime at the end of the regular season, and they've played the last two games. I've seen St. Mary's play against Shrewsbury, and then I saw them the other night when they played Archbishop Williams. And Bella Freitas is unbelievable, but Gianna Tringali in goal basically stole them two games. She played phenomenal against Shrewsbury, and then she topped it 36 saves against Archbishop Williams in a game that St. Mary's was outplayed for three quarters of it. And even Frank Paliuka said that to us afterwards.
When you get that great goal score that you were referring to, the freshman, and then the great goaltending, that's a recipe for success possibly in playoff hockey, that's for sure.
You get a hot goaltender, you're going to win a lot of games, and you get a timely goal like Bella Freitas has done the last two games. But the three games are with game winners against Boston Latin, Shrewsbury, and then Archbishop Williams in overtime. You're going to do a lot of things right. And St. Mary's has done a lot of things right these last few years.
Well, we've seen the other thing. I want to just go on looking at the seedings, if you will, that started the tournament and who has arrived at the championship games. You mentioned the girls, St. Mary's, the number two seed, Notre Dame, the number one seed. You go to D1 hockey on the boys' side, the Prep, the number one seed, taking on number 11 Winchester. That's one of the seeding mismatches, really. But that, of course, that's followed by another 1-11 matchup in the D2 boys final, Tewksbury and Boston Latin. Marblehead's a six seed taking on number one seeded Nauset. I just thought I'd share those seedings, but most of the seedings, if you look at throughout boys and girls basketball, kind of played out pretty well. I mean, there are exceptions, but that's okay too.
I mean, it's a case where in hockey, the power ranking system is a little confusing because Winchester is probably better than an 11 seed, but their record wasn't that good because they play in a very tough Middlesex league, and some of the teams they play around there aren't as good, but once they've got into the tournament, you've seen how good they actually are. It's the same thing with a team like Boston Latin, who's an 11 seed in the Division II final. They're playing a team in Tewksbury that they've played twice this year. They know them already, but that Merrimack Valley Conference, is, we all know, it's there's not a bad team in it, so they have a record that's deceiving, but they're a very good hockey team.
Yeah, that takes into account, you know, the league, strength of leagues and different things, or strength of schedule, I should say. But still, it's not perfect, and that's okay, too. I expect that there is probably not a real perfect system here out there because there are so many nuances with high school scheduling and leagues and teams, divisions, and so on. Matt, you're going to be at the Songus Center all this weekend, starting tomorrow night, right? In those games tomorrow night, there's the boys' D2 final, Malden Catholic versus Sharon. Sharon, a team you saw, as we mentioned earlier this week. And then the girls' game is a D1 final, Bishop Feehan against Wachusett. That's a 1-2 seed.
I mean, it's probably the girls' basketball game of the year, according to most people that I've talked to. Most of us seem to believe that Bishop Feehan and Wachusett, they are two of the three best teams in Massachusetts. You and I saw one the other day in Foxborough, who is the team that most people consider one of the top three teams, and for good reason. But Wachusett played Bishop Feehan this year and back during Christmas vacation and handled them pretty convincingly. So you got to wonder, is it going to happen again?
Yeah, you were just referring to the Foxborough team, which is a D3 team now, formerly a D2 and defending D2 state champion in girls basketball. Kind of thrashed St. Mary's, and I know you were coming in during that game, but you know the last two St. Mary's games in the playoffs, they were last three they played lights out defense, but their defense wasn't really bothering Foxborough. Credit to Foxborough, I think. I mean, they played tough, don't get me wrong, but it was Foxborough just as that, you know, kind of a head and shoulders above talent wise, and they were not too fazed by it.
Lisa Downs brought back everybody but one kid from last year's team that won the Division II state championship. And if you ask most people, Foxborough's second five probably could start for most teams in Massachusetts. That's how good and deep they are.
All right. Let's go to the, let's see, it would be, I'm sorry, go ahead, Matt.
Oh, go ahead, Bill. You.
Oh, no. So let's, that was the Friday games we were just talking about. On to Saturday, which would be at the Songus Center. You got, and again, people can look down on the post and see all this as well, but you've got D5 boys, girls, D3 boys and girls as well. And that Foxborough team that you were just referring to on the girls' side will be playing the 6 p.m. game Saturday night in at the Songus Center in Lowell.
I mean, there really isn't a bad game on Saturday or Sunday up at Lowell with the turn of the seedings. Capped off that on Sunday night by Worcester North looking for their third straight state championship, their third straight undefeated season, although Severian put them on the ropes last night and had them down with less than a second to go before losing in overtime.
All right. Should we go to, the games on the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. So you'll be spending St. Patrick's Day at the Songus Center?
Yep.
All right.
I have the 4 o'clock game on Sunday.
Okay, so that's the Medfield and South High game, right, which you were just touching on that a little bit there.
You spare a thought, and I think of this as I look at that Division II game, I think of Bishop Fenwick and Adam DeBadges and company. They would have been the number 2 seed in the Division II tournament, and I don't think there's a person around that doesn't believe that if they got in the tournament, they would have been in Lowell, and they probably would have won a state championship, according to from what most people believe. That's how good they were, because they had handled Medfield during the regular season.
That's right. They had them. Was that in that Woburn tournament at the end of the year?
It was the last game of the regular season, and Bishop Fenwick beat them by 20.
Yeah. And then their season, yeah, of course, they're not in the play, they're not eligible for MIAA playoffs this year. I'm sorry, Matt, go ahead.
But you spare a thought for Bishop Fenwick because you think what might have been.
No, I definitely. And, a player like Cecilia Kay, who's just had a great high school run at Bishop Fenwick, and then to have this happen. And, you know, I actually went over and got a chance to talk with the captains right at the end of the season. And, you know, they were more or less saying, you know, they wouldn't say this really outright, but that is the best team, this current team that they just finished, wrapped up the season with, was the best team that they were a part of. And this was the team that, Matt, beat St. Mary's twice this year, albeit very close games.
This was the group that was going to contend for a state title. We saw them last year lose heartbreakingly to St. Mary's in the Division III final. And everybody knew that this was the team with Cecilia Kay coming back for her senior year. This was the one that Adam DeSages had that could have won it all. And I don't think anybody would have been surprised if they had won it all if they got to play in the tournament.
Matt, we've kind of looked at the tournament games, but I wanted you to share a note or two with us on some of the games, or not necessarily the games that you saw this season, but what stands out, a play, a player, a team, a game, What kind of memories, several of them that you do share from this past winter sports season?
I mean, it's just been so competitive. It's been top to bottom. There's so many good teams now. We shouldn't be surprised when we see these lower seeds get to where they are this weekend, because the talent levels are not that different anymore like it used to be. Where if you were a 16 seed in a tournament, you knew that you played the number one seed, it wasn't going to go well. That doesn't really happen that much anymore. But there's been so many good plays. I saw the play at the end of the game I saw the other night when Sharon beat Bedford. Jacob McLaughlin, who had done everything but carry the kitchen sink in the fourth quarter for his team, unselfishly makes a pass instead of taking the shot himself, finds a wide-open Jackson Raver, and he hits the winning shot. You don't see that very often in this day and age of people wanting to be the show.
Yeah, and that comes from a, you know, reason. There's some solid reasoning to that in sometimes, because if you're the guy that takes the shot or girl that is the, you know, so-called money player, that's the one person you want taking it. But at this point, you've got to have teammates that can also get the job done as well when you're in the semifinal games.
It's not a coincidence all these teams that win and they're getting to play for state championships. Yes, they have a star or two, but they've got three or four people that are very good players around them, and that's why they're getting the job done. The same with basketball as well as hockey.
Right, exactly, yeah. Well, Matt, anything else you'd like to share with us here? Any thoughts on the Patriots draft pick? The Celtics, Bruins, anything else to share with us?
Well, if you're a Patriots fan, you've got to wonder what you're doing wrong. You offer Calvin Ridley $22 million a year, and he says no to you.
Because he was playing you, that's why.
So you begin to wonder, what are we going to do now? And that number three pick, it's very interesting. You could go a lot of different ways with it. You could keep it, draft a quarterback, draft a Jaden Daniels or a Drake May. You could draft a Marvin Harrison Jr. at number three and get a quarterback later. Or you could if you get a deal you like, trade it, get more draft picks, and you could do it that way. So there's a lot of ways you can go with it. I'd like to see them keep it and take the quarterback myself because they need one.
All right, and what's your and what quarterback do you think they should take?
I mean, we all know there's three at the top of the board that are really good. I think everyone assumes Caleb Williams is going to the Bears at number one. Then it becomes a matter of which quarterback does Washington like better. Do they like Drake May, or do they like Jaden Daniels, or do they like Bo Nix? Whichever one of those they take, you're going to get your pick of a good one at least.
Yeah, where again was Brady in the draft? Do we remember that? Do you remember that, Matt?
The 200 something pick in the sixth round.
Yeah, there you go.
Go figure.
Yeah, they should trade. They should trade it then. You know, go for somebody like that. There you go.
It's a very deep draft for quarterbacks, Bill, and there's going to be a lot of. There could be five or six taken in the first round. So, if you find one you like, you may not have to take him at three.
All right. So again, the next game, Matt, that you're going to be covering for the Herald will be what basketball game? Oh, the Fian Wachusett game then tomorrow night, right?
Tomorrow night, Bishop Fian and Wachusett, number one and number two in Division One.
7:45 tip off thereabouts at the Sangha Center in Lowell. Matt, always good talking with you. Thanks so much for jumping in and joining us.
I like working the late shift.
There you go. Yeah, 7:45 is not that bad. It's not too bad. Yeah.
That's true. But yeah. By the time you get done writing, it gets to be late.
There you go. All right. There he is, Matt Roy, with us here on from the Boston Herald. Here with us on msonewsports.com.